I greatly appreciate those of you that have returned now for segment two of program four, The Bigger Picture, America's Past, Present, and Future, written in black and white. And I'm actually just kind of setting you up to understand that this is a new beginning, and what I've said in the past has been rough, and some people might think unkind, but it's going to get really rough from here on out. I've got about 15,000 hours of flying time in 26 or something different airplanes, and right now there is a thunderstorm ahead. We have no choice but to penetrate it, which you don't do in an airplane, but we got no choice this time. So we have to follow the thunderstorm penetration checklist, and we're going to turn up the thunderstorm lights. We're going to disconnect the altitude hold, turn on the continuous ignition, set the power, and not touch it. Just follow that attitude indicator to keep the aircraft upright. It's going to be rough in the programs ahead, but here's what you need to know. I told you that there'll be five programs in this series. Well, in the last 48 to 72 hours, I have changed that. We'll be continuing the same topic, America's past, present, and future, written in black and white. But from here on out, you're going to hear me refer to the future as the present, because I believe what I've been looking for is now here. And we'll be talking about that in the future programs. These will be continuous programs. And I'm hoping you'll look at this as a lecture series, an open-ended lecture series. I hope you'll accept me as a credible speaker if you got to the second level of decision of, well, is this guy a madman or is he a racist or what is he? If you decided I wasn't and that I'm speaking existential truth, then hang on to that. And I encourage you to just get the CDs as they become available. And make a collection of them and then copy them and pass them on, because I believe what I'm giving you from very credible sources is vital. But why did I start this? I mean, what caused me to, because I haven't done this before. I did a few co-host things with a friend down in Jacksonville and filled in for my pastor on his radio program a couple times. But I've not sat at the microphone consistently each week with my own program and said, well, I'm a genius on everything. Listen to me. No, never said that. But that's what, you know, people presume when they ask to get on the microphone. I started this in 2021, 2 years ago, in a letter that I wrote to Wesley. I'm going to read that to you in, I hope, the 6 minutes I have left. Dear Mr. Cox, in recent months, as I've passed through the signal coverage of WCGA along I-95, I've rediscovered AM 1100. Now, gratefully, I've now come to realize that you're a new voice of rare wisdom in an America that's rapidly sinking into the swill and the sophistry of Democrat and rhino Republican non-leadership with its anti-God, anti-family, anti-free enterprise, Marxist, feminist agenda. Your national hosts are all men I trust. I appreciate and I know to be among the few remaining in the media that hold to those values that made this great nation a legendary anomaly in the history of mankind. I have been particularly encouraged by your personal on-air political and ethical commentary, as well as the on-target opinions of Daryl Kane, who was on for a while, who you seem to be introducing to those like me who need to replace the bitter disappointment in our hearts over the suicidal vector of our culture with some hope that common sense and traditional values may yet prevail if the right people like you and those you have on the program will step up to the plate and do what men are called to do, preserve the culture. I write this in hopes that you will read the entirety of my words on air as an ex officio WCGA editorial from a sojourning listener who loves America. I love what she stands for and what she has become. Well, what she's become breaks my heart, but perhaps she could regain the lost path. In my educated opinion, as one who served this nation as an Air Force pilot and whose immediate relatives, present and past, have righteously served America from her grassroots to the various highest positions in our country, I know we are now in our most perilous hour, that without good men arising to just do something with meaning, not just talk. This greatest and best historical anomaly, America, will soon perish, and not in future generations, but in the weeks and months immediately ahead. My name is Marshall Wood. I am a veteran husband, father, now retired field grade officer, and a well-seasoned, proactive citizen of good standing in my city of Orange Park, my state of Florida, and in my beloved America. I have clung to the traditional values of America. I've taught them to my 6 sons and my now 15 grandchildren. I've openly advocated for them since my days at Robins Air Force Base as an aircraft commander in a KC-135 tanker, one of 8 airplanes I flew in the Air Force. It was at Robins that I sat Cold War alert with my Strategic Air Command crew ready to launch our critical war response airplane should the then imminent threat of Soviet aggression become a sudden reality. I've made a life investment in our God-blessed way of life, and I now deeply resent what wrongly passes for legitimately elected leadership in America. Legitimately elected leadership in America. Oh, and I am a Georgia citizen by birth and heritage who is well aware of the great significance that your broadcast area played in the spiritual and political development in this nation. As a military veteran, I have stood in harm's way in 7 different Air Force aircraft flying global missions of high priority to America during the 18 years I actively sat in the command seat of those airplanes. I had a direct or indirect part in almost all globally significant events from the early 70s through the election of George H.W. Bush in the late 80s. I was privileged to fly Mr. Bush many times as an Air Force 2 crew resource. Prior to that assignment at Andrews Air Force Base, I flew the American ambassadors to a U.S. embassy in a dangerous third world country of strategic importance to our nation. I flew in the Yom Kippur War in 1973. I flew in the evacuation of Vietnam in 75, as other examples of worldwide involvement. From these and many other fly-on-the-wall positions throughout my military career, I gleaned a pretty fair idea of what and who makes the world and our nation tick, of what great leadership looks like and what cruel dictatorship inflicts on its people, of what keen vision and excellent military planning produce, of what selfish ambition, amoral and immoral leadership, as well as political duplicity and malfeasance, Joe Biden evolves. Without ever once being or becoming a man of any great position or substance myself, I've personally served and carefully observed those who are or have been, and I learned enough to make this final statement. I assert the following under the First Amendment, but in direct violation of the ethics to which I hold others and to which I am bound by my implicit policies. Military officers, by those implicit policies, military officers are honor-bound to practice. In making this statement, however, I am simply following the recent leadership examples of men of much greater rank and importance than I ever possessed. Since they did so, so do I now toward them. I'm going to, on the next segment, read that statement that I'm going to make. I want you to understand, because I'm reading this lengthy letter to Wes, why I'm sitting in this seat, broadcasting the bigger picture, America's past, present, and future, written in black and white, and also having done the previous 13, the bigger picture series, the unity of true faith and right political action, why I'm doing it, and why I wrote Wes. We are in a critical hour, and men must do something. And this is what I'm going to do. Come back with me, and I'm going to read the final 3 paragraphs of my letter to Wes so that you understand why I'm doing what I'm doing and hopefully challenge you to do something similar. God bless you. I hope you return.